We are officially on the top of Lamed Aleph. We're going to backtrack just for a second to make sure we know exactly where we are. But basically, the Gemara, all along, for a long time, has been discussing the problem, the machlokas between our Mishnah, Egel and Nairos, right? The following people, women, for whom a person gets, the man will get a knas, right? If he's with these women he's not supposed to be with. And at the same time, you have a Mishnah, Elohim HaLokin, who talks about women for him, whom if the man was with those women against Halacha, he gets Malkus. And the question was, why in one case he gets Malkus, and in one case he gets a Knas, and trying to deal with the stira, the seeming contradiction between the two Mishnayos. So we have different approaches to deal with that. Rish Lakish, Rish Lakish gives a third possible answer. And he argues that our Mishnah, that says that you pay a knas, is because it's according to a mayor who holds local mishalim, right? That you can actually get malchus, as opposed to all the other approaches, which said come with the rabbinine, right? That you're gonna, you know, if you have two possible punishments, you get the worst one. But Rav Shlakish says no. The reason you're gonna pay a knas is because you're gonna pay a knas and you're also getting malchus, right? And that's what's happening in our Mishnah. And the Gemara is bothered, you know, if that's true. It'd be true even in the case of a person being with his daughter, which the Mishnah will tell us later, is a case of you know, you get put to death. They'd be Mason Mishalim. The Gemara says, but wait a second, it can't be you Mason Mishalim. That's not possible, because what about the case of a person who steals and shechs an animal on Shabbos? In that case, Rabbi Meir says you have to pay. And the Chachamim approach it. So it sounds like Rabbi Meir, you know, doesn't hold that... That you can be local mishalim, but you're not mason mishalim, right? If you want to say that he holds that you're not mason mishalim, right? If that's true, and that's the reason why in our case he has to talk a pay, but in the case of Bas he doesn't have to pay, right? But wait a second, Mary does hold, right? That you can die and also have to pay a kanas. The Gemara came to the conclusion that the case of the shechting, the stealing and shechting, the reason in that case is going to be chayv is why? Because it was two different people, right? I wasn't the one who I stole and someone else shechted on my behalf. And that's why it can be meisim mashalim. Really, Mary doesn't hold meisim mashalim. You wouldn't ever, if you're going to chayv misa and also pay, that wouldn't be something that would happen to you. And the Gemara gave a number of different pshatim of how that's true, how do we know the meisim mashalim, etc.
And the Rish Lakish says you get Malkus and you pay.
That
resolves the contradiction between
the Mishnah, the two Mishnahs. One case you pay and one case you get Malkus. What do you mean? You don't do both. The answer is no. When he says you pay, he means you get pay and you get Malkus.
Right. Nothing. So then he doesn't have that contradiction.
Exactly. No, so it doesn't bother him. Right.
He's the only one that holds that.
And that's why it's according to him. There's no steer. Okay. So let's go to the bottom of Lamed Gimel Amud Beis, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 lines from the bottom, where the Gemara says, "Maskef la marzutra mi ika midi di ilu avad ihu lo machayev avad shliach machayev." Right, meaning this case of I steal and the other guy shechs on my behalf. What? So there could be a scenario where if I would do the action myself, right, I wouldn't be chayev, but if my shliach does, I am chayev. That's kind of weird. But right? if I would do the shechita, I wouldn't have to pay. But now that someone else does a shechita, I have to pay. That's so weird. So the Gemara says, no. And the Gemara answers, that's not a problem, because you are chayiv. The only reason you're not going to pay if you did it yourself is because you have two chayivs hitting you at the same time. You are chayiv to pay. But you also be chayiv misa, that's all. Fine. So now the Gemara says, my time I had the rabban and the patre. Right? If this whole case that we're talking about, right, is that what happened, that I stole the sheep and then someone else shechted the sheep, and the mayor says you got to pay, so my time I do rabbanon de patre, right? Then why did the rabbanon say you don't have to pay? There would be no reason to say you don't have to pay. I stole, he shechted. Of course I should have to pay. There's no possibility of kibbutz rabbanon. So answer the Gemara, man chachamim rabbi shimini. Oh, because the chachamim, it's not chachamim. Chachamim just is code word here for rabbi shimini. Why the Rabbi Shimon say the Amar Shchita she'ein ruuya lo shma shchita? Rabbi Shimon has the opinion that if a shchita that's done is not a shchita that would ever be useful in terms of someone being able to eat the item or something that a person could ever make use of, so then that's not called a shchita. So that's why Rabbi Shimon, according to the Chachamim, you know, Rabbi Shimon would hold that in the case where you stole the item and then you shechted it, that you're pater. Why? You're pater because the shechita was a shechita she'in yiru'ya. It was a shechita that's never going to be used in any way. And remember, what?
Why is it?
Ah, so that's coming to the question. Why is it not ru'ya?
Yeah.
So the Gemara says like this. The Gemara, okay, fine. Remember, there's more than just the case of Shabbos in this Mishnah. They said if a person shechted on Shabbos, they stole and then shechted on Shabbos, or they stole and they shechted to a varuzara, or they stole and they stole a shor haniskal, and a shor that had gored somebody and was supposed to be put to death, and then you shechted it. All those cases, right? That was the question. You have to pay or not have to pay. So the Gemara says, "Ha teinachav varuzach kochav mishor haniskal." I understand when it comes to a shor that was used for a varuzara, that was shechted for a varuzara, or it was a shor haniskal, right? In that case, the shechita in those cases was not a useful shechita. Why? Because I can't eat something that was used for a varuz kochavim, and I can't eat a shor haniskal. So the shechita is a shechita, but it's not really a shechita. Right, so that's why you might say you're pater. Why? Because it's a shechita she'in ru'uya.
What can
this go? It's a shor. Let's say my ox goes ahead and gore someone else's ox or a person or whatever, and it does it. It gores another ox one time. So if it does it once, you got to pay. But if he does it three times,
yeah.
So then what happens? That shor has to be put to death.
That's
right. So a shor niskal means it gets skila. Okay. So a shor niskal is like already ready to be put to death. So
you're saying the act itself is not enough to make you chayav.
Exactly. So right. So Rabbi Shimon's opinion is that shechita she'in ru'uya is not called a shechita. So you mean we said the halacha is if I steal your sheep and I shecht it, I got to pay four times or five times depending on if it's a sheep or a cow or whatever. But if it's a shechita that I did was not a real halachic shechita, I didn't do anything practically because I can't eat the meat. So then that Rabbi Shimon holds, it's his opinion, that's not considered a shechita. So the Gemara says, so fine, I get it by a shor niskal and by a shor that you shechted the avodah zara. No one can use it anyways, right? But el shechita, Shabbos, shechita ru'yi. If I shecht something on Shabbos, yeah, it's against the halacha and I'm chayav misa for that shechita, but the shechita still counts. How do I know? Because the mission tells me as follows. The mission in Chul, in the Snan, ha-shochet b'Shabbos for Yom HaKippur. Let's say a person takes an animal and he shechts the animal. It just happens to be he did it on Shabbos or Yom Kippur. Even though that person is chayef misa for what he did, the animal is still kosher. You can still put an OU on that hot dog because the shechita was a good shechita, right? So, so if that's true, this isn't going to help me, right? I mean, again, our question was why the rabbanon say no. If this whole thing is that. You know, the reason this isn't a stira is because it was Tovech Adei Acher, some other person shechted, then why they're abundant pattering? Oh, because it's Rabbi Shimon who holds Shechita She'en Ru'uya Lo Shema Shechita? Yeah, but that's not going to work for Shabbos. So answer the Gemara, Sav Alak Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar. No, he does, it works. Because he heard it's like the opinion of Yochanan Sandlar. The Sanya, because Rabbi Yochanan Sandlar says as follows, in the Braisa. Amivashal B'Shabbos B'Shogeg Yochal B'Mezid Lo Yochal. So this is a mission that actually comes up in, it's quoted in the Mishnah Berurah, in the Shulchan Aruch, in terms of people who do melacha on Shabbos and a person getting benefit from that melacha that they did. So the Mishnah says, the Braisa says, if a person cooks on Shabbos, if they did a bishogeg, so the question is, it's called Maisa Shabbos. What's the status of the person who cooks on Shabbos or does a melacha on Shabbos? What's the status of them benefiting from that melacha and the status of other people benefiting from that melacha? So I'm a vashra bishabbos, bishogeg. Let's say they cooked on Shabbos, but they didn't know. Either they didn't know it was Shabbos, they didn't know they're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. So what happens? So yochal, they can eat it. B'mezid, lo yochal. But if you did it on purpose, lo yochal, then you can't eat that food. Divrei b'meir. He doesn't distinguish between who it is. If it's by mistake, you can eat it. If it's not by mistake, if it's on purpose, you can't eat it. Yehuda omer, b'shogeg yochal on motzei Shabbos. Yehuda says, if it's b'shogeg, you can eat it on motzei Shabbos. Can't eat it on Shabbos, but motzei Shabbos, you can eat it. B'mezid, lo yochal lomis. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, if you did it on purpose, no one can eat it ever. It's forever forbidden. Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says like this, B'shogeg yochal motzei Shabbos l'achirim. So Rabbi Yochanan Sandler says, if it's motzei Shabbos, sorry, if you did B'shogeg, then other people can eat it on motzei Shabbos. V'lo, lo, but the person can't eat it ever. B'mezid lo yochal lomis, lo lo v'lo l'achirim, but if it's on B'mezid, then no one can eat it ever. Okay? So, point being, why is this helpful of Yochanan Sandler? Because now you're telling me that, according to Yochanan Sandler, a person who shechs an animal on Shabbos, but amazing, what happens? No person can ever benefit from it. If that's true, that is what we call a shechita she'en ru'uya. right? That'll be a shechita. That's no good at all. It has no validity. So if that's true, Rabbi Shimon would hold, according to Yochanan Sandler, that you assume that the shechita on Shabbos makes the item totally forbidden forever, right? So then Rabbi Shimon would say, oh, that's a shechita sheni ruya, and that's what a person who, if I steal the sheep, and my friend goes ahead and he shechs it on Shabbos, clearly on purpose, it's assuming on purpose, he knows it's Shabbos, and he shechs it, so then we're chayiv to pay the money. You know, the reason that Rabbi Shimon would say you're not chayiv to pay is because it was a shechita she'in ru'uya. Because the shechita, you know, the shechita makes the animal forbidden for everybody to eat.
Okay. What's the difference between Rabbi Meir's answer and Rabbi Yochanan the Sandler? They both say if it's the maize that you can't eat it, just one goes the extra step and says, not him, not others, not for. He just explains what he means as opposed to Rabbi Meir, who doesn't. I mean, why? But he doesn't say, Rabbi doesn't say that. He doesn't differentiate.
Yochanan Sandler says, "Bishoge Yochanan Motzei Shabbos La'achayrim."
He distinguishes.
He distinguishes. Rabbi Meir said.
Rabbi Meir just says you can't eat it forever, or you can't eat it.
Bishoge Yochal.
Meizid lo Yochal.
Right, but as opposed to Yochanan Sandler says, Bishoge other people could eat it on Motzei Shabbos.
Right, but then he goes, Meizid lo Yochal Alamid lo.
Right, but that's the difference. The difference is shogeg.
Difference is shogeg, not mezi. Okay.
The difference is shogeg. Yeah, exactly.
What was the original question we were trying to answer about down at the bottom of the previous daf about patron?
The original question is, according to the Rabbanon, yeah. Right, if we're explaining that tovech aide acher, right? The whole case is what again?
I steal it, somebody else kills it.
Right. If that's Rabbi Meir's, this whole opinion is according to Rabbi Meir, and that's what he holds. The case is someone else shechted it, and that's why. That's why you have to pay. It's that's why you're not putter.
Who's paying the other guy?
The original guy who stole it asked someone else to shecht it on his behalf.
Right.
So do me a favor, shecht that for me.
Right. So who?
Right. So yeah. This guy who stole gets killed, and he has to pay.
Right.
Or sorry, he has to pay, and the other guys that get killed for shechting.
The other guy. Now yeah. The other guy's putter. He's not going to get killed because it wasn't.
So Rabbanan say it doesn't happen. You don't have to pay. And the question is why not? The point is, if that's the case, why is the other person not why the Rabbanan hold that you don't have to pay? Okay. And the answer is, the Rabbanan are really Rav Shimon, like the opinion of Yochanan Sanon. Okay. Exactly. So now the Gemara is going to do.
So
yeah?
How do you reconcile that with the Gemara and Chulin, though? I mean, it seems like a Stam Mishnah that you don't follow Rabbi Yochanan Sanon.
It's three opinions.
Well, no, the Mishnah and Chulin, that's the Mishnah and
Shalom. He's just saying, Rav Shimon holds like Yochanan Sanon. He must be holds like him. You could argue that you shouldn't, but that'll make it work at least. Okay, but now the Gemara is going to say, well, what's Pshat and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler? My time, Rabbi Yochanan Sandler. Where's this svara come from? Where's he hold this idea that a person who does Malachan Shabbos, if he did it b'shogeg, you can use it Matzah Shabbos, and if not, you never can ever use it ever. So Kedar Shvichia Apischa the Rei Nasiya, like Shvichia made a drasha at the opening the door of the house of the Nasi, Ushmar to Mesa Shabbos Ki Kodesh Hi Lachem Ma Kodesh, right? Because keep Shabbos, why? Because Shabbos is Kodesh. Ah, so Kodesh is like right things that are Kodesh, like you know Kachim, right? Ma Kodesh Aser Barachila. There's like things that are made destined to become kadosh or used in the hekdesh, used in the base of midrash, is forbidden to eat. Af ma'isa Shabbos, asurim b'achila. So about kodesh, right? Ki kodesh ilachem. So it's like kachim in a certain sense. It's something that's already been mukdash to the base of midrash. It's forbidden to use. So too, to anything made on Shabbos, anything done on Shabbos becomes like kodesh. So he says, we're fine, but eat ma kodesh asur b'hana. Af ma'isa Shabbos, asur b'hana. So maybe say the same thing. Just like kachim, things that are separated from the base of midrash, are forbidden for hana. So too. I should argue that Ma'aseh Shabbos is also Aser B'Hana. Not you can't just eat it, but you can't get Hana from it ever. Right? Tamal Omar, Lachem, Shalachem, Yehei. Right? No, it says Kodesh Lachem, so it's still yours. Right? Yachal, so it should be even yours. Meaning, even though it's Aser to eat, but it should still be, you can get Hana from it. So it says the Gemara, Yachal, Afidle B'Shogeg. So maybe I should say the same thing, even if I just did it B'Shogeg, so that it should be forbidden. Tamal Omar, Mechalalem, you must. No, it's only mechaleha. Mechaleha, chilul. When you're mechal Shabbos, that's only considered b'mezid. Right? It's only someone who's mechal. But someone who does it b'shogeg, so then we're not going to have that same thing. Fine. So pligi bar of acha v'ravina. So Rav Acha and Ravina kind of argued about this opinion of Yochanan Sandler. Chad amar ma'isa Shabbos deraisa. Chad amar derabanan. One said the Maaser Shabbos is a din d'oraisa. So this idea that, again, that after the melacha had been done, it's for this idea of not being able to get use of the item in some way, only be mazed, etc., is a d'oraisa concept. And one said, no, that's only a din d'rabbanan. It's like some type of knas, or some type of like penalty. So man da'ma d'oraisa kedarman. If you think it's a d'oraisa, I get it. You can get it from the pasuk. It's a drasha. Right? Man da'ma d'rabbanan, amar kra kodesh he kodesh, vein ma'aseh kodesh. Right? If you can hold it's d'rabbanan, what do you have to say? So if you say Shabbos is Kodesh, but Maaser Shabbos is not Kodesh, okay, the Drasha has to say that Maaser Shabbos is not really an issue midaraisa, right? Okay, but Uman da Amar Rabbanan, my time of Rabbanan to Patre, right? So if that's true, if you think that it's only Rabbanan, then why did Rabbanan go ahead and Pater? So Kika Patre Rabbanan Asha Ara Toveach Lavodas Kolchavim. Kika Patre Rabbanan Asha Ara, and if you hold like this, then why the Rabbanan being patering you from paying in that case? Again, if you hold like that this opinion that Maisha Shabbos is only the Din Rabbanan and really Midaraisa, the person doesn't have to pay anything, in which case it should be their Chayav Misa, etc. So then why the Rabbanan patering them in that case? The answer is that they are patering from, they're not making the guy pay in the other cases, Avodah Zarah and Shira Niskal, but according to this whole approach, that's only the Rabbanan, the person would talk, I have to pay in the case of Maaser Shabbos, because again, that would, what Maaser Shabbos wasn't really a problem. So we'll pick up with some of the concerns that was with Chavim and Shira Niskal. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Bye.